So if you have your Bibles, please open up your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter number 5. That's where we're going to be at here today. And I was just, when Pastor Brian asked me, hey, would you come out and share? I said, yes. And I was like, you know, I'm going to talk about sharing our faith. Sharing our faith. And it's not always easy sharing our faith at times, as we're going to see here in the book of Acts in chapter number 5. You know, there's a quote from Warren Wiersbe, and he says this: the Christian life is not a parking lot, it's a launching pad. Isn't that great? It's not a parking lot, but a launching pad. It launches us out. You know, as we're trusting the Lord, we never know how the Lord is going to use us, how the Lord's going to minister through us to other people. And sharing our faith, guys, this is what's important. It's like, I think of, what else do we have? What else do we have, right? What more do we have but then to give Jesus? And sharing our faith, guys, it's not, see, it helps us to also grow in our walk with God. You know, it's not just about being born again. And this is the greatest thing, the greatest gift this side of heaven is being born again of the Holy Spirit, right? Becoming a child of God. And then we grow as we dig into his word, as we study the word of God, as we read the word and meditate on the word of God. But we also grow, I believe, as we share the word of God. And that's really what God wants us to do. He says to go out and make disciples, right? And this is so important for us to do. In the book of Acts here in chapter number 5, as we're going to see, the apostles, they are faced with opposition in sharing the word of God. Yet in the face of opposition, they continue to share their faith. And my prayer here this morning is that I can have the opportunity to develop some application, some encouraging application for all of us to go out and to share our faith. Because friends, we all have family, we all have friends, we all have our neighbors, we know somebody that's in need of Jesus. And we have the answer as God's children, is to go out and to share the faith of Jesus Christ. So this whole context, really, in a simple way, God was doing many signs and wonders. This is after Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and God was doing some great things through the apostles. In chapter number 4, we're told that 5,000 people are saved there in the area of Jerusalem. And so there's this popularity, right, of Christ and of the apostles and the gospel, and people are changing their lives, and not only changing their lives, but people from all around the outskirts are coming, and they're bringing the sick, they're bringing the affected of people that are affected with demonic possession and everything, and just the shadows of people of Peter are healing the people there that are sick. And so great signs and wonders are taking place, and people started to follow Jesus. They started coming to the place of faith in their life. And so the popularity of the apostles, really, and of Jesus was growing. And I want to read this portion of scripture in chapter number 5 in the book of Acts, from 17 all the way to the end of the chapter. And so I know some of you are probably looking, man, that's a lot of word right there. It is. Bear with me. I'm going to read from the ESV translation. And this is what it says at verse number 17. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, I like this part right here, verse number 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now, when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council at the Senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. And so they returned and reported, we found the prison security locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Imagine, that must have tripped them out, right? Like, they just disappeared. Now, when the captain of the temple of the chief priests heard these words, They were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, look, the men who you put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined them. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas, the Galilean, rose up in the days of census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them. That's crazy, right? They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. That's great. They did not stop preaching and teaching. They continued. It was like there was a fire lit underneath them. Sharing your faith, guys, is not always received or easy, but God always comes through. He always comes through. And we see this here in the beginning of what I just read in verses 17 through 21. We see that jealousy drove the leaders. Jealousy, you know, the leaders, the Sanhedrin, these religious leaders. The attention, really what was going on, the attention was going from them over to Jesus. And isn't that how it should be anyways? Drawing attention to Jesus, making much of Jesus in our life. You know, this is one of the things that I share with everyone there at Hope Alive Church. I'm constantly telling them, hey, you know, before we excuse it, everyone or something like that, I always tell them, man, go make much of Jesus, because it's all about him. And that's what was going on here with the apostles. And then we see that they're put into the jail. They're put into the common prison right there. They're locked up, you know. And I got to be honest with you, man. When I hear portions of scripture like this, the apostles, and I, you know, we all know the apostle Paul was in prison and everything. I was like, you know, okay, I guess I was in okay company because I was in prison too at one point, right? But here they were locked up. They're thrown into this prison, and an angel of the Lord is there to meet them. And tells him, you know, opens up the doors and he tells him to go stand in the temple. Friends, listen, if that word right there in your Bible, go, isn't circle that word, go, go, go. And I really think this is a word for all of us who are believers. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out in your context, in your life, where it is that you work, with your family members, your neighbors, the people that live next door to you in your apartment complex or upstairs or down, go and share with them the love of God, right? And here we see this angel comes through. And angel, the ministry of angels, guys, is really to serve the purposes of God. And we see, like, here these apostles in their experience being locked up. Now, listen, guys, I try to put my mind, I try to put myself in their place at times. You know, I remember when Paul and Silas were also in jail. You know, they're just out there preaching the word of God. Here's, you know, the apostles, they're just sharing the word of God. They're sharing their faith, and now they're busted. You know, can you imagine? It's like, man, I don't know if I want to do this no more. I don't like the chow line here. You know, I don't want to come to jail no more. You know what I mean? And so there's like this idea, the thought of like, I don't know if I want to do this. But they experienced a miracle there. An angel of the Lord meets them. Friends, listen, if you're able to write this down, write this down. Godly experiences feed our faith that quenches fear. Godly experiences feed our faith and that quenches fear. I'm reminded of David, King David. In Psalm 56, he writes this wonderful song, and he's really remembering and reflecting how he was on the run from King Saul, who wanted him dead, right? And then he finds himself there at King Achish, and you know, there and he's, you know, he just got done killing Goliath, you know, prior to all this, and he goes right to the very place there in Gath, and they want him dead as well. And you know, so everywhere he goes, morning, noon, and night, all day long, there in Psalm 56, you know, David's saying, hey, they want to kill me. But I believe it's in verse number 3, David says, but my trust is in you. And I just can't stop but think that, you know, his experience of how God delivered him, that even when he's afraid, he's going to trust in the Lord. God, you're going to come through because you've done it before. And that's something good for us to also reflect on and to think of. Like, you know what, God, I've had some things in my life, but you've come through in my life. You've come, see, as we journey through this Christian life, we can forget. We're people who forget sometimes. We forget like what God has done at times. And then God allows us to get to a certain place in our life where we have to remember what God has done. And then we stand on those things. You know what, Lord, you came through before, and I'm going to trust that you're going to come through again. And here, so with these apostles, here they are, and the angel of the Lord comes through, opens up the doors, and he says, hey, man, go share, right? They're instructed to go share their faith. In other words, they're instructed to go share the words of this life in particular. What life? You know, their life, the life of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. That's what they're instructed to go and share, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. I believe this shows us that even when we experience his miracles, the miracles of God, we won't always be free from troubles. You know, sometimes, man, I get to share the gospel, and people will come up to me and it's like, man, you know, if I give my life to Jesus, is everything's going to get better then? Is that what you're saying? You know, everything, I'm going to be no more problems. I'm like, oh, no way, man. Not at all. You know, your life is not going to get easier. I'm just going to keep it real. K-I-R. That's what I say. K-I-R. Keep it real. It ain't going to get easier. Right? Being a Christian doesn't mean that our lives get easier. Can I get an amen? Right? But I tell you this, being a Christian, being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, life is better. I tell you, my life is better than what it once was. Oh, trust me. That's a whole nother time right there. That's a whole nother hour right there. You know, but it's so much better today. It ain't easier, but it is better. And so with these experiences, it shows us that we're not always going to be free from troubles. Our troubles, guys, listen, watch this. Our troubles don't disappear. Our troubles appear less when we trust him. They don't disappear. They don't go away. And I'll say this, man, unfortunately, I kind of wish they did. Like, Lord, man, can you just make it go away? You know? But they, when we're trusting in the Lord, they do appear less. And I think that's where God wants us to be. And we see these the apostles that they're in this place. You know, God is setting them free. And so, yeah, they're troubled. They didn't go away, but they can appear less. And they continue to go and share. And then in verses 21 through 26, sharing our faith, it trips people out.
You know, because remember, there they are, and they say, hey, go get these guys, these knuckleheads that are in the jail, right, and bring them out here. And the guy goes like, hey, you know, they're not there. You know, they did a Houdini act. This is before Houdini. You know, they just disappeared, right? They just disappeared. They're not there. And I think this is really what God's truth, not only does it trip people out, our faith, you know, because God just does crazy things in and through our lives. I have friends, you know, that I talk to them still. And as a matter of fact, I just did a memorial service just past week for a dear friend, family member of mine. And there were some friends from my childhood that were there, and they were just looking at me, you know, because I was sharing, you know, during this memorial service, and they were looking at me. And afterwards, you say, hey, you know, they call me over. I was like, what's up, man? You know, and hey, so you really changed. Like, I'm tripping. They're tripping. I was like, so you don't drink? And I was like, nah, man. You know, God has delivered me from all of that, you know? And you know, like, not even no wine, bro. Come on. I was like, nah, man. You know, it's not a desire that I have. You still smoke, though, a little bit, right? I said, no way, man. You know, and they're tripping out. They're like, wow, what is going on here? But it gives me the opportunity to share with them the faith, my faith in Christ, what God has done. It trips people out. You know, God's truth also does, it reveals people's motives as well. And we see this, look at verse number 24. He says, now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this can come to. And so here they are, they're tripping out, right? And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put into prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And it says, the captain of the officers went and brought them by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. They were afraid, right? They were concerned about self. They were afraid about how they were going to be perceived and looked and seen as. They were worried about self. How their popularity was going to disappear. Their following. They wanted to be seen as important. That's really what they wanted. And the apostles, they wanted Jesus to be seen as important. And again, these are some important things for us, guys. For us, it's like, okay, we want Jesus. We should want Jesus to be seen important, not just in my life, but convey this truth, sharing our faith, the gospel message with other people so that they too can see that, you know what, Jesus is important. Christ, what God has done, the gospel message is important in a person's life. Important so much so that Jesus is a priority in my life. Important so much so that Jesus, we want Jesus to become a priority in other people's lives. See, and so with the truth, as this being shared right here, you know, it's being revealed, it's, you know, the desire of these religious leaders and their thoughts and, you know, their motives is being revealed, that they just wanted to be seen as important. Guys, listen, let's always make it a point that in our life as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we want Jesus to be seen as important. God, right? Isn't that a good thing? Amen? Yes. Sharing our faith, it should be a priority. It requires, so as sharing our faith a priority, sharing Jesus, talking about God, looking for any opportunity, right? It requires trust and boldness. It requires trust and boldness. Now, this is not the first time that the apostles, in a sense, are facing some opposition here in this area of Jerusalem. You know, just prior to this, in chapter number 3 and 4, man, it's a great narrative right there of what God was doing and miracles that were happening. And they were there in that context. They were gaffled up. You know, they were brought in and they were threatened. Hey, man, don't do this. Don't talk in the name of Jesus. They were threatened. Right? And they were released again because, you know, the people were getting saved. People were changing their lives. People were beginning to follow Jesus. And the religious people, again, they're like, man, you know, we don't want to look bad. We don't want to look bad. So let's just let them go, but we'll threaten them. And then when they were let go, right? Peter and John, they were let go. I love that. There in Acts in chapter 4 in verse number 29, it tells us that they went right back to the family of God that were praying for them, and they shared their faith. They shared what happened. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4 in verse 29. It says, and now, this is their prayer after they shared what was going on. Their prayer was this, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Lord, you see what's going on. You see their threats, all this stuff. But give us, grant your servants boldness to go out and share the word of God. You know, and that's really what it requires, Holy Spirit boldness to share our faith. How many guys would agree with me? How many of you guys get afraid, you know, kind of hesitate or, you know, man, I don't want to share my faith, but I don't know how. I'm a little nervous. What if they say this? What if they do that? You know, I get nervous, you know, and just back here, I was like nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is where I was just like, man. Then I was like, I started thinking, well, why am I nervous? This is the words of life. Oh, Jesus, your people, you know, this, we just want to encourage one another to go out and share our faith because people are hurting. People are sad, but yet at the same time, it does. It requires this Holy Spirit boldness, sharing faith. And this is sharing our faith, guys, was a priority. And was a priority here as we see with the apostles. And yet they were still faced with conflict. You know, it's like, Lord, can't you just make it easy for us? You know, we just want to do this. Can't you? Listen, guys, I think, again, this is a part of our spiritual formation. This is part of us learning how to trust God even more, that it's not always going to be easy. There is conflict. And, you know, honestly, I really think that there's conflict. We face conflict in life. Proof that we're sinners, right? Because there's conflict. It's proof that we're sinners, proof that we need God and the Holy Spirit to go through this Holy Spirit boldness. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, Paul, he says in Romans, you know, to as much as we possibly can, to live peaceably with one another. Live peaceably. You know, sometimes, you know, if we're sharing our faith and people want to oppose it or they question or they kind of get crazy, it's like you want to get crazy back. I don't know, maybe you don't, but I do sometimes. Like, what'd you say? What'd you say about my Lord? You know, come on, man. You know, and we want to just kind of go there. But here, God, you know, God tells us to live peaceably as much as we can with everybody. Listen to what Jesus actually says in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. Right before, you know, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and before he's arrested, crucified, and rises again, you know, this moment he has with his disciples, he says, if the world hates you, verse 18, chapter 15 of John, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In other words, man, hey, Jesus, like, you know what, guys? You're just going to face conflict, but I love you and I'm praying for you. You're going to face trials. You're going to face challenges in life. And you know, this hasn't changed since the birth of the church with conflict and challenging, you know, and challenges and sharing the word of God. Many of us here, if not all of us here in this room, can say, you know what? We get it. I face challenges too in sharing the word of God and wanting to live out my faith. It's not always easy, but it should be a priority. And the priority of the disciples, guys, was to obey God. That was their priority. Oh, to obey God. The Great Commission, right? That we see in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Great Commission here, this is what it says. Jesus says, go. There's that word again, go. He wants us to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Again, there we see that word go. Go. Go and share. Go and minister. Go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I remember there even in the book of Acts when the disciples and Jesus is ascending into heaven, right? And the disciples, I just put myself in their position sometimes. You know, it's like there's Jesus, right? His resurrected body. He's there for some time. And all of a sudden he goes, and you know, they're just looking up, right? Tripping out probably. Wow, like, man, you know? And then the angel's like, guys, what are you doing standing around looking up? What are you doing standing around? Go, like, man, go. And we see this consistently here. Jesus saying go, and these angels saying go and share your faith. There are many times, guys, and we as here back in our context of chapter number 5, as they're being threatened and all this other stuff, you know, to stop talking in the name of Jesus. There are many times when we're told to maybe stop. Or, you know, there's when it comes time to like, hey, I don't want you to talk about the name of Jesus. Don't pray like that. This happened to me. We did an outreach. We do a lot of outreaches here and locally, everywhere, right? Everywhere we go. Like I said, man, we got to say yes in sharing the gospel. And there was this one time several years ago, probably about 10 years ago, over at Jerome Park in the middle of Santa Ana, we were doing this outreach. We're kind of teaming up with other faith-based organizations and nonprofits. And hey, you know, so Hope Alive Church, would you guys do the stage and kind of with music and help out with that? So I was like, yeah, great. And so we're about to kick it off, right? And I go up there and say, all right, guys, I have the microphone. Okay, so this is what we're doing. You know, this is what this thing is all about. So let me pray before we start. And I see people, right? They're like, what? He's gonna pray. And I said, oh, I better pray quick. And so I started praying, right? And I prayed, and by the time I was done with the prayer, I felt people were standing next to me, and I'm like, and I prayed in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. And they grabbed the microphone. You cannot pray like that. I'm like, well, I just did. You know? You know, well, okay, well, you don't use the name of Jesus. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And, you know, I went back up and I prayed again after, like an hour later. And I just prayed in the name of, they weren't there. So I was like, hey, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus right now. They were somewhere else. But I did it anyways, you know. And here's the thing, guys, you know, yes, maybe these folks were, you know, there and they had, you know, this authority that you know, of organizing and everything. But I just felt in my heart, you know, I can't not but pray in the name of Jesus, you know? I have to. I want to. I want to talk about what's the whole purpose. Then why are we there if I can't share the word of God? And so there's going to be times, guys. And again, not all. Jesus says to be wise as a serpent and yet gentle as a dove. Amen? I mean, in other words, like, don't draw negative attention to yourself, right? So be wise, you know, don't draw negative attention. Don't draw, you know, just, you know, don't be dumb. In other words, you know, that's another thing. I like to just DBD, don't be dumb, you know. Don't draw negative attention, but be gentle as a dove in sharing these things and sharing the word of God. And so there's going to be times when disobeying the world's authority is going to be required in us. And I really believe that even as we, you know, begin to continue to live this, our life and our society and our culture and what's going on and what's happening around us in our own context here in 2021. You know, it seems like there's a lot of heat and a lot of pressure coming on a lot of people. Everyone's on edge politically, you know, and our society and culture, everything, you know, all this. And everybody wants to, you know, like just kind of, you know, parse every single word that a person says and all this other stuff just so they can find something wrong. You know, trust me, man, it's not hard to do. Everyone's not perfect. But it just seems like there's this big old challenge. And in our world now, we see like there's the challenge even for church at times. it sounds like and it seems like. So there's going to come a time, I really believe, in our, maybe in our life, where, you know, we have to disobey the world's authority. But in doing so, friends, I really believe that we need to be prepared also to deal with the consequences. Because it's you know, this is the kind of world that we're living in. And as, again, as we look around in our world, in our society, even some, you know, even for the church, it's like there's a conditioning that's taking place, you know, by just the world system. But you know what? Until then, we can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. Amen? Can't stop, won't stop sharing our faith. Because people are hurting. People are sad. People are confused and people are searching. And then God gives favor, as we see in verses 33 through 39. God gives favor when we share our faith. And there in those groups of verses right there, the reaction, you know, so the reaction of the religious people here was to kill them. We want to kill them. We see that there in verse number 33. It says, when they heard this, back in Acts chapter 5, when they heard this, they were enraged. You know, they were enraged and they wanted to kill them. They wanted to take them out. And then there's this religious leader, Gamaliel. He's there and he kind of, you know, he just begins to talk some sense. You know, he's using kind of, you know, common sense, you know, worldly wisdom. And this is, and he shares, hey guys, just leave him alone. If it's not of the Lord, if it's not from God, you know, fizzle and die. And he had some examples. But if it is of God, man, you guys, you don't want to get in the way of what God is doing. See, Gamaliel, he was a respected rabbi. He wasn't saved. He wasn't a follower of Jesus. See, he didn't want negative attention. Again, it's just like this attention. They wanted how they were concerned how to be seen. Guys, listen, let's not be concerned how people see us too much. You know, I think, and you know, there's a balance there. We need to be, if we're more concerned of how people see Jesus in us, everything else is going to get taken care of. Amen? We need to be concerned how people see Jesus in us. And when we're concerned with that, and that's kind of our priority, you know, I want to share my faith. I want to be loving. I want to be kind. I want to be wise, right? I want to be bold at the same time. Well, then, hey, everything else is going to fall into place when we do that. His advice was to leave him alone. The gospel, guys, it is powerful. Amen? The gospel changes lives. Amen? It sure does. Man, I remember when I first heard the gospel message with the ears of my heart just open. I was in a place that was, you know, I was hurting. I was sad. I was lost. I was in a dark place, you know, in my mind, in my heart, emotionally, everything. And it was the gospel of Jesus Christ that brought life into my heart. June 11th of 2000, that was the day my life changed, man, forever. Thank you, God. And so, you know, as you remember and as you can reflect on what God has done in your life, like, man, you know, that's the power of God. And it's so we know that that same power is for others also to receive life. And so the gospel message, it changes lives. And its focus also is on Jesus. The gospel message is all about Jesus, right? It's all about our Lord and Savior. But here in our context here, the religious elite, what they wanted the attention. They wanted to be seen as the most important person. And so instead of killing them, what they do, they gave them a beat down. And the apostles, they gave them a beat down to the apostles and they warned them. They warned them again, right? Just stop doing what you're doing. And then I love in verse 40, and 42, and when they had called in the apostles, okay, they beat them, they charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. They didn't stop. Again, can't stop, won't stop. Sharing faith. Sharing our faith. It isn't guaranteed. Again, it's not going to be easy, right? but it's necessary for us to do. And how did they respond after this beatdown? They were rejoicing. You know, they were rejoicing. They went out and they continued to preach. Listen to what Jesus says in chapter number 5. And one of the, here it says in chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I love that. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward, he says, Jesus does. He says, it is in heaven. Paul, the apostle in Philippians in chapter 1, he says these words in verse 29, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. The privilege. Rejoice that you've been persecuted, Jesus says. And Paul says, hey, it's a privilege. All for Jesus. All for his namesake. The persecution that they were faced with, it didn't stop them. And you know the wonderful thing today? Because persecution against the church is still happening. Maybe not as much here in our context, in our world, here in Orange County, as it is in other places of the world, but they're continuing to do so, right? I've never been to China, but I have some friends who have been. I have some friends who are actually there serving or who have served as missionaries there in those places. And you know, and we all are familiar and understand that there's in other parts of the world, there's persecution. And they continue. They continue to get after it with the gospel, bringing the word of God. I know some of you have probably seen, you know, these little clips on YouTube or whatever, and I have, and you know, it's just like I remember they showed like there were some Bibles that were able to get smuggled into the country. And all these people, they opened up this box, right? And these little Bibles were there, and they were just grabbing for the word of God. They wanted the word of God. And you see, it was thriving, it still is thriving. And even today, the gospel message, it is still thriving, even in the face of persecution. It didn't stop and it shouldn't stop. They trusted God more here as we see the apostles, because they went after their holy beatdown with a black eye and everything, a fat lip, they're preaching and teaching. Can you imagine that? You know, imagine just seeing, you know, pastors and all of us, you know, just like we're sharing, hey, what happened to you? I led someone to the Lord, man, and I got a black eye. Thank you, Jesus. You know, hey, what happened to your tooth? Man, I was teaching about God, you know, it came out when someone hit me, you know, and they continued. See, now here's we kind of chuckle at this, right? Like, oh man, you know, but this was a reality right here. They beat him down, a reality. How many people, like just getting beat down, would say, oh, I had enough. You know, I'm really cool just in my little area right here. You know, I ain't gonna go and talk about Jesus. I'm not gonna get another fat lip, you know? It hurts. Trust me, it hurts. I know, I've had one or two before. You know, and I think it's when God, the Holy Spirit, really just takes residence in God, and we're feeding that. You know, we're in the Word of God. We're in fellowship. We're worshiping Jesus collectively at a place like this. I love Sundays are my favorite days. Amen. They are, because I feel like these are the days when these are the times and the moments that we can come together collectively as the body of Christ, right? Get charged up. We get fed the Word of God, because we then get deployed, right? We get deployed. See, God scatters, you know, strategically scatters his people in all kinds of different places for a purpose. You know, you just don't work at the dentist's office just to get a paycheck. You know, and it's like God wants to use you there. You're not just a truck driver just because. God wants to use you in that context. You work at the convenience store. You're a secretary here or this or that, wherever it is. You work at the school district. God has strategically placed you in places where he wants to use you so that you can be an example so that you can let your light shine so that you can share your faith. And we need the boldness. We need the encouragement of Jesus in our hearts. They trusted God even more, it seems like, and it sounds like. And even as we know this, friends, listen, let's not be quitters when it comes to the gospel. Amen? Let's be believers that continue in this journey, being wise as a serpent and gentle like a dove, partnering with God as an ambassador, being ready in every season to share our faith. Let's be the Christians, the believers that's full of the life of Jesus and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to share our faith, because we can't do it on our own. We can't. We need God. And I love it there as it closes in verse 42. They just continued. They looked for opportunity. Man, where's it going to go? And friends, listen, we should look for opportunity as well in sharing our faith with Jesus. Let's keep our eyes open for the opportunity. Keep your eyes open for the opportunity to go. Go. Go and share the words of this life, the life of the resurrected Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm reminded as Peter and John, they were walking there to the temple and they were to go and pray. And there was a man there. You guys know the story, I'm sure. There was a man there. He was crippled for a long time, his whole life. Everybody knew this guy. It's like, you know, sometimes where we live, you know, where you live, maybe you see a guy who's always out there at the same street corner, whatever. Well, this is this guy, you know, everybody knew who he was and he had his hand out, right? And as they were just going about their day to go and pray, there was opportunity. Hey, man, you got some chump change? The Bible didn't say chump change. My vernacular right there, right? And what they do, they turn and said, man, you know what? Silver and gold, I ain't got nothing. But what I do have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Guys, share our faith. It's all we got. People in our world are hurting. People in our world are sad. You have family members, perhaps. People that you work with, they're lost and you know it. We know it. And we pray for them as we should, yes. But I want you to know God has strategically placed you there in that context so that you not only can pray, prayer is so powerful too. Don't ever give up on people praying. People didn't give up on me. Thank you, Jesus. I thank my wife for not giving up on me. Let's not give up and continue to pray, but let's also go and share. Because that's all we got. And that is what brings healing. That, the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is the one who restores. He is the one who reconciles. He is the one who brings life. You know why? He is life. Amen? And maybe that's a place where you're at today. You just need life. You're sad. You're hurting. You're going through some things. I want you to know that today, if that's the case, God loves you. God loves you, and he's calling you just to be healed, to surrender. Amen? Father, God, I thank you so much for your loving kindness and your word. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would be exalted. I thank you, God, that we can be in a place like this and we can talk about the importance of sharing our faith. We can talk about you as being the central figure of our faith, our Lord and our Savior, that the gospel message is all about you. And Father, for those that we think of right now that are in a place where they may be lost or hurting or sad, whatever it is that they're going through, Lord, I pray that you would draw them and bring them to faith. Lord, and use us as your instruments, as your vessels to share the powerful message of the gospel. Father, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand. God, as we stand before you, as we stand in allegiance to our King, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for meeting us. And like that prayer, Lord, that we read and see there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, Lord, fill your servants with boldness that we might share the words of the resurrected life of Jesus. Fill us in the name of Jesus. Amen.